enlightening and engaging journey, and I'm looking forward to today's show. It's been a few months since we've had him on. As for Seven, he has many different lessons and has been active and playing a huge role in the shift and awakening consciousness on this planet. excuse me. Over the years, he's had many different websites, theresistance2010.com. He now has secretenergy.com, which incorporates his older realmdynamics.com. He hosts his own Astral Crest radio shows, and he has had quite an amazing life, starting very mercurial from the time he was a young. He woke up activated, I think. And you're going to love our journey with him today. Secret Energy was released earlier this summer.
Yeah.
And in its amazing, amazing portal. Why don't you explain to us what Secret Energy is a little bit first, Seven?
Okay.
Welcome to Consciousness Caffeine.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Obviously, it's always a pleasure. And it's also a pleasure to speak to the people because, you know, I'm glad that you kind of called me and, you called me and said, hey, you know, what are you up to? And, you know, the universe has been saying, you know, I need to get you in. What's up? And I thought actually we were just going to have one of those calls that, we just link up and talk about stuff. But then I realized that you were talking about a show. And so it's glad that I got a chance to be able to do it today. And obviously I have a lot in store because it's been bottling up. I've actually been, you know, on a fantastic run. We just came out of semester one of the university, which was an extremely innovative effort to expand consciousness. And we just have rave reviews, you know, for all those who were able to participate and got involved. And they were really able to expand because for the first time, I've really been able to have time to really put together a quasi-curriculum. You know, obviously this is, very, how could I put it? It's expansive. So trying to articulate it into English and, you know, put things together in the proper chronological order. And, you know, I think we all struggle with that because we're dealing with something that has a hyperdimensional and outside of time nature to it. And so I think that this probably would be one of the more eloquent presentations that I'll have this lifetime with what was presented in the with the university. And then since then, I did take a brief moment to catch a breath. I just kind of went out to nature for a while and really just caught the, you know, you reap what you sow. So when you put that much work into something, then there's always, you know, what you receive after that. And so I put myself in a pretty good environment to receive, and I was able to keep climbing this never-ending ladder, but not in a sense where it's a ladder that, you know, it's tough to climb all the time. It actually becomes rather enjoyable after you get to a certain point, but a ladder in the tense to that, it's always expanding, and I'm constantly learning more and simplifying things and then going to the next phase. So as far as Secret Energy is concerned, it's really a culmination of all of our works. You know, we want to centralize things. As you said, I did kind of pioneer a few expansive information sites on the internet that present consciousness. One of those is Resistance 2010, obviously. There's Astral Quest, there's, you know, the 2012 show and the Resistance TV. And so we've done a lot in these last 6 years, 7 years, going on 7 years now, with what we set out to do in the first place, which was to seed the internet with the most advanced levels of consciousness to date. And so I would definitely say that I'm super excited to be going into the next phase, and that does involve Secret Energy, which is an open source spirituality platform. And it's really designed to, it's 100% curated, so it's designed to get you right to what you need, and then also to become the glue or the framework for synchronicity, to, you know, allow synchronicity to speed up. I mean, people meet even there. I've heard some people getting married off of the site now, meaning they met on the site and then found the person that they they want to spend time with. So, you know, it's become definitely a hub for connection. And we're still building it. Like, we're actually just coming out of beta, and I'm now in 2.0. We're going to probably by the end of next week have a completely different thing going on that's just more integrative. You know, we want to put the social network and let people link up. So that's what's up. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, I'm one of those people that I'm actually seeing how much I can really push myself. So I'm not only doing that physically, you know, I'm staying in the gym, staying on the diet, et cetera. I'm also doing that mentally. I continuously study and learn more and culminate knowledge and, like I said, simplify it and then go again. And then I work with spiritual expansion personally on myself and others with continuously pressing into the beyond, since I have a pretty exact formula of how to do that. And so, you know, I get a fair balance of all this, but it does make for quite an active life. And in this, I feel like is what we're here to do. As, you know, you want to, you know, you want to do as much as you can. So since we're in the limitless, you know, I have a tendency to not know exactly where my limit is.
When you were telling me, I can't believe people actually, that sounds perfect for people actually meeting and getting, you know, engaged or married off of the site. I immediately got a picture of that meme. You had me at fuck the system. Thank you for that overview. And I've been in the secret energy since you first opened it for beta test and watched its rapid evolution or meiosis, or it's just exploding. I'm like, how is he managing to do this so fast? It's really amazing. It's like watching life explode through a website. Whole multiverse.
Well, for sure. There's definitely a major connection with how everything works. Is, you know, we like to call it the blueprint, but it can be really applied to anything. And so, you know, they say if you build it, they'll come. And, you know, we build with integrity and we look at it ourselves and we want to make it the best. And there's no other motive beside just to do that. So there's a lot of integrity involved with what we're putting together. And it is a collective thing for sure, because obviously I wouldn't be building massive websites and you know, and dealing with all of what comes with that behind the scenes, which is really the unknown component, without others that were participating in going there and getting what they need and interacting, you know. So it's definitely mutual in the sense to, as I see the community really growing and I get more clever about how to allow others to assist others and allow me to assist others. And then also looking at these web platforms and how they're designed and how they develop, because I have a really good understanding of that kind of thing. And then I give it a marriage, and then that's what it is. So in that tense, the same way it's designed is the same way people get when they tap into it, and it responds based on the, you know, the prototype of what the builder, you know, put into it. And so since it has this kind of love and this kind of affection and lots of experience in this too, because obviously we've had other social networks, and so we really cut the lights on with 16,000 members. So it's, you know, it's not like we're, you know, we're just starting from square one, but I remember those days and they were beautiful too. So that's what's up.
One thing I noticed, I was going to the site to get some pictures last night, the link. I saw you have the new tee, the t-shirts. I love it. And it's perfect to lead in what we're our topic today. And instead of see you later, see you forever.
Yeah, see you forever.
I got a lot of comments when I was promoting this show, this show's title. I'm like, just join the show. I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've branched out into quite a few different areas just to, you know, make sure that we're covering all the bases here. And one of them is obviously what apparel and what people wear and what statement that makes. And I think it becomes an excellent opportunity for not only other people to witness someone that is expressing themselves in a certain way. I mean, actually clothes control everything. If someone has something on tight, baggy, gym clothes, suit, all this says something before the person even opens their mouth. So I see that as a viable system to be involved in order to spread this word across. I even saw something today that just kind of cracked me up, but it was like a picture with you know, some beautiful lady there. And then on the top of that, it said, research September 23rd, you know, September 23rd, 2015. And I guess that's, of course, the CERN kicking, the CERN launching or whatever, but he gets the point, is what I'm saying, is that, you know, you really do have to at times be a lot more clever about how you're sending these messages into what is the masses. You know, you don't want to speak to the people who already really know about all this. Well, I'll say this, I do that, like we share with each other, but in most cases, you know, I drop jewels all the time, but the general idea of it and what it's all about, all itself, is something that's known by those who work with consciousness. So it just so happens that in most cases, if we're looking to do some greater work, if you may, those are not going to be the people that we're talking to. We need to talk to the masses. And, you know, so I've seen this now in so many different dynamics. It really makes a lot of sense to me. And that's also what's allowed me to get into my higher senses, is beginning to collapse all of the conceptions that all of this is not part of the same thing. And doing that truly, because, you know, people just, you know, they say, oh, you know, we're all one and all that stuff. But that all one still includes, you know, a whole list of not only people, but entities. And of course, the Zeta Reticulis don't make it this time. And, you know, so it's still what it's showing, because all of that a person very seldom even comes in contact with, except for through their mind. It still shows that there's division in the mind. So it's, you know, I don't think that a crazy person is crazy to themselves. It's like something that you could actually be doing and not know you're doing it, and then go on with it until you actually pull the card on yourself and say, you know what, maybe I need to ask myself, do I really believe all this self, and do I really believe that everything comes from the same thing? And then how can I begin to adjust my life to really herald those principles in everything that I'm doing and what I'm experiencing? And so, you know, the first part of that, you know, kind of leads me to the beginning of what I have in store for today. But it really leads into, I'm getting just a little reverb there, but I'm not sure if that's picking up on the recorder. But what it gets into is intelligent design. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we did just get a little tiny bit of blowout there, but that's okay.
Okay.
It's all good.
Okay.
Just before you go into this, because this is ginormous, and I wait, and it's a perfect lead-in, but I think that craziness is there for a reason on both ends, whether it's an entropic or syntropic chaos. Chaos comes right before it either explodes, or that chaos comes before the order comes out of the chaos. So that's, you know, the evolving or devolving situation, and getting through that chaos and being comfortable in it till it starts to, you start to see the order in it. And I think that's really about where we are before you go right into explaining where the order starts again.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that,
and you see the beauty.
I mean, and there it is there. Beauty. I mean, there's the ultra crazy and then there's the ultra sane. And, you know, and that's what the reality will always deal up as a dualistic reality. And then we just play the floating component. Like, we'll have all of the extremes, and then, you know, we'll put it into the old cooker, whether it's the mind or whether it's the body, or even from a spiritual aspect, and then we'll produce something from that. But what I'm learning is that, you know, when you even get beyond all of that, that's when you're in the real seat. That's when you've now kind of, you've beat the game, if you may. And I only call it a game in a tense to, you know, if you die, you do come back. Maybe you blink for a little bit. But it's a serious thing that there is a continuous process with an immortal being, that there's no such thing as death. So in this reality, that's kind of number one, or at least number two, of the worst thing that can happen to you, according to most people. So if that's not true, then it also just makes the reality null and void as far as its severity. And so what that means is it becomes somewhat of a game to certain individuals once they figure out fully what's going on here. And then they learn how that there's in this an unlimited amount of things that you can do. There's a lot of paradoxes. That's also what is incorporated with the game. You can't really take it serious at certain times, meaning that, you know, if you get too crazy about it as far as allowing it to scare you and allowing it to get you into those kind of frequencies, and that can be detrimental. So you're forced in a tense for a while to find the balance. And the thing is that, you know, this whole thing is about a marriage. And that marriage is spirit and flesh. And that marriage already happened. So whether we want to argue about whether we agreed to it, or, you know, if it was on the timeline, or who incorporated it from Mars, and whatever the case may be, it still puts us into this scenario now of saying, well, the flesh is with the body, and these two normally love each other. And so a lot of people waited for me to say, well, you know, they hate each other. But in actuality, if they did, they wouldn't actually be together. And that's the whole thing about this. That's where the paradox comes in, is that even people who are supposedly, you know, the good people and the most beautiful, positive people, they're the ones running around the internet searching for the next doomsday, because they've gotten hooked to being one pole and then needing that other pole and feeding themselves with the other pole. Like, okay, so see, I told you. It's almost like the Christian syndrome. You know, see, I told you the end of the world was coming. Look, there's now gay marriages everywhere, and look, you know, they legalized the gun, and look, the president is not even from the United States, fulfilling the prophecy of the seven-headed piece of leg that goes on to the bronze statue from Daniel. And then they just go off into this whole partaking of negative force. And, you know, and that is what I started to realize was going on, is that, you know, when you really study the galaxy, if there's these, if you want to just make it as simple as light and dark, there's always going to be an equal measure of the two. But as the floating component, like I was saying earlier, we make the steam, we decide which one we really want to inherit at that moment and within all of our choices. And that kind of makes things very it opens the vista up of what actually is going on here to me, because if all day we're thinking about basically the negative thing, we're not actually inventing anything, we're not actually doing anything with our hands, we're just kind of all in our minds. If we're doing that, then actually what goes on is that this positive, if you may, begins to accumulate. And this was known about in the ancient times, that they called it as pent up. Pent up, as in even the pentagram, to hold a cage. Pent up dharma. And the guru, in this being intense, the Jupiterian, meaning the one who, it was the largest planet, meaning the most full of the ether or the gas, could easily see this dharma on others and would assist them. And this is the real gurus, because you always have to put that in front of things nowadays. Like, you have to, if you're a star, you have to put the real, whatever your name is, in front of your Instagram, because thousands of people have taken your name and done something else in your name. And we're dealing with that right now, even with a lot of the spiritual traditions and structures and symbolism, is that, you know, someone has run like a bull, like a China house, through the whole thing. And so when we look at the real meaning of, I mean, the real meaning of things have become very obscure. And so this is like akin to tearing down the tower, because now we must put back all of these pieces, almost something like a Humpty Dumpty. You kind of wonder if we're going to actually put it back together again, but we have to put our entire DNA, then all of our information, back together in the proper sequence, and then turn the key and hope that it cuts on. And so, you know, this is what my life
is. Yeah, Lacan.
Because yeah, my life for the last 2 years has...
No, that's like all...
Say that again?
Sorry, Seven. No, that what you just... No, you just made my mind burst out. Laka, as in the number 12 in the Mayan calendar. It's all about taking the broken pieces of what's left over and putting them back together more beautifully with new things.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right, before the ascension completion energy.
You know, it's very poetic the way it's put by many of the cultures. But, you know, some people like it stripped down and raw. They're minimalist. It's how elements work. Elements break down to very basic things, and they bond. And if you notice, the whole thing about chemistry, when you really study it from a spiritual perspective, is that everything is about a bond. It's attempting to find its bond so that it can create something else. And so if we can definitely say that there's a blueprint to everything, then if we look on the most minute level, or to where the atomic level or the molecular level, and we witness this going on, then we for sure can gander that this is actually what's happening in the physical reality, that everyone is just more larger particles, but full of a certain kind of consciousness. And so this is how it can be easily seen. You know, in the event that you do leave the planet, they're going to put you in this, let's say, pine box, if that's how you choose to go. And then all of the water that's in your body is going to evaporate. So 70% of you is going to pass right through the pine box anyway. And it's going to join back with the family, all there is, all that will ever will be, and the totality of consciousness. The ions, the iron, the steel, all the different elements that we have inside of us, they call those rare elements because they're difficult to extract. Not that they're rare because there's not a lot. It's rare because it's difficult to extract these elements. But all those elements will eventually decay and then pass in, as they're through their own distillation, back into their original form, and they will join their family again. And this is the whole thing that, so I was in this one state, like I was way out there. Like I call it over my head. This is when I'm clearly into a new zone now, right? And then I'll come back and explain if I make it
Out
back.
of
So
your
I was in one of those phases, and I looked and I said, well, I was noticing that I didn't need to breathe, and there was a lot of stuff I didn't need to do, and then everything appeared completely different than it normally appears when you're just, in this frequency, I'll say. And then so I thought, man, hopefully I don't die. That kind of kicked in at one point because it was, again, I was way over my head, so I'm like, okay, maybe this is going to be the time. And then I kind of got this laugh from the universe. And I was like, what's the laugh about? And it said, you would hope to die like this. And what it meant was because when I was way up on this mountain, I was looking into everything and I could see all the whole thing, how it was designed. I was seeing the intelligent design. And I was like, and it was just so much. And then I was like, okay, I'm probably gonna die because I can't feel my legs, I can't feel anything. And then there was this laugh, you will hope you will die like this. Because if you die like this, my friend, it's guaranteed where you're going. See, in your world, on the ground, because all the humans walk across the ground. So on your grounded world, there's a constant fear of how you're going to go. Is it going to be the plane accident or whatever? People wonder in the state that they're going to go. Are they going to go peacefully or are they going to go, terribly, right? And so what was really being unveiled in this experience was death, if you know how to do it, is the release that one's been waiting on. Like I don't want to call it a prison. It's a prism, but meaning it functions on the seven color scale with the two invisible colors and then which are black and white and then the whole wavelength, the octaves, and so it functions like that. So it's a prismic system. That's why they use the triangles a lot and the concave cones a lot, right? But it. So seeing it like a prism, not so much as a prism where you're here in sorrow, seeing it as the prism where there's all these choices and all this stuff going on, it still means at the end of the day that when you're out of the prism, you feel way more expanded because not because of something that you've done. You're not even actually using the mind that even tries to judge you anymore to tell you if you've done a lot and if you did a little. All that's gone. That's all lower mind stuff. We used to call it, that's all monkey mind stuff. What happens when you get into the next, what I like to call envelope, the upper triangle or the upper cone, when you get in there, now you're connected with everything. So then it was explaining to me, because I got to know why. I'm like the kid that keeps saying, well, why? Why? I'll keep asking the why, because that's the corner of the wall. That's how you get into other spaces. That's the oob. So I ask, well, why is it like this? And it says, because, okay, so let me make it very simple for you. When you look on the ground, look at your ground. And I was way on the mountain, right? And it said, but look at the ground, look it in the city. So what you got down there is you got all these metals, you got flesh, you have plastic, you have all of these things that will never come to the sky. They will never come to the sky on a permanent basis. Like you won't take one of your planes up above a certain altitude and expect for that plane to not just shred itself apart. And it's because that's the real hierarchy, if you may. That certain elements, if they're dense still, they can't go into the higher envelopes. But what we have is we're encased inside of something, me and this body, that it's like Russian dolls. You have another vehicle that you can travel up into, if you want to call it that direction, into these higher spaces. But the only way to access those vehicles is to basically defrag, to pack up, because you can get really big in the division and in the judgments, and then you take on this ID, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Chinese, you take on more IDs, I like hip hop, I like, you take on all these IDs, and you're getting larger and larger on the physical plane. So that's the fat Russian doll, is what I'm saying. In order to utilize the vehicles that travel in the spaces where there's no trash allowed, basically. No elements that can actually form what we would do on the physical ground, then you just pack it all up. And this has become something that this becomes something that when we're ready to do it. And to tell you the truth, the people who are experiencing the worst are actually more closer to doing it. So that's what becomes tricky about the reality. And this was explained very deep in if you want to know, well, what are these monks really doing? What are these lamas really doing? If you look into their works, they'll say, well, here's how it really works. You will keep returning to the planet. And if you don't become a professional reincarnator, meaning if you don't become very conscious of your movement throughout these spheres, then you will keep accumulating what we call karma. Now, karma is just flesh. It means physical things and things that are already congealed. So you'll keep accumulating that because as we're basically flying through the cosmos, you're allowing the dust of the cosmos to collect on your consciousness. And this keeps forming over and it keeps getting larger and larger. And that's what we call intelligent life. Very interesting that we will call it that because that's actually opposite of what it is. What intelligent life is, that was the beginning of what I was saying, the intelligent design, is when you get the bird's eye view. And this is like a bird is in a synonymous with something like a bard or an angel. It's something that actually has a view or a perspective that is different. It's not about being high in the air. It's about being able to see and penetrate things onto the molecular level because you can see to that level. And then when you're standing aloft and you're looking at what would be even the entire earth, you see a large pattern that is perfect. And some like to say, you know, that's geometry, and it is in geometry in every tense, because look, the word geometry means the actual shapes of geo or the earth. So there's this big geometry that you see, and that's when you have the aha moment. The aha moment comes because you realize, oh shit, we're not actually, if you're not every day building in the intelligent design and knowing you're doing that, then you're just taking suggestions. Because, so what I'm saying is if you look at a pattern and the pattern is perfect, a large pattern, but you didn't know anything about that was even the goal of what you were doing in life, to just create this part of this perfect pattern, then you realize that you got to go up a few ladders. I won't say it's a humbling experience. For me, it was quite invigorating because I realized that there may be something out there that knows a bit more than most of the people that I'd be seeing running around here talking about they know something, even sometimes including myself. Because, you know, knowing something and being sure about it and speculating are two different things. So fortunately enough, for the last 3 or 4 years, what I've done is I've just continued to push forth things that I don't have to speculate about anymore. But there is a fringe side of my consciousness where I'm constantly experimenting with something to see if, you know, if it's malleable. Is it really the way that I believe it is, or is it just the way that I'm seeing it? Because if there's two sides to it, and I'm only looking at one side, and thus I've made my decision, I've judged it, does that still make the other side not exist? Of course not. The other side still exists. So then, from that thought, what you begin to leap to is the grand realization, which is that you don't need to think to exist. See, somehow there's an error that's occurred within our society where we believe that basically anything that can think or talk is what we call sentient, right? And then what can't supposedly is non-sentient. And then this births what's organic, which is what's sentient, of course, and then what's inorganic, which is non-sentient, right? So, and this is just like headlong in error. Because if every single thing in the planet, be it plastic, technium, whatever, is still made out of atoms, how could any of it be fake? How could any of it be artificial? So we found ourselves kind of in a bind with trying to differentiate and divide so much. Because we already know the division will leave you powerless. But it actually takes place within when we start creating errors in our division. So let me make this clear because I don't want to confuse people. But what I'm saying is that this, I got some bismuth laying here, okay? Because now I'm in the noble kingdom now. I've passed through the plant kingdom, so I'm now only dealing with noble elements. So I have some bismuth laying here. And bismuth doesn't speak English. So therefore, everyone has denoted bismuth, or this rare element, as actually inorganic. But then, in our meditations, in our deepest meditations, what we find is that when we don't think, that's actually when we reach into the Atma. Like, you can tap into everything, but you're not using words anymore. You're using something that's more like imagination. It blows pictures right up, and they appear right in front. It blows through pictures, and it appears right in front of you. That's the language you're on. You're dealing with only lights, not any kind. The voice is not accessible in that plane of the highest states of the meditation. But if we notice then that it was the lack of the use of language, actually, that created this hypersentience that we're witnessing in this meditation, that means that everything that's not using the language then is in this hypersentient phase already. And this is what makes a Mashiach. This is what makes an adept. This is what makes a Rab Mag. This is what makes any of the high titles of one who knows how to wield the elements. And it starts from one basic principle. Everything is the same. Because this is what happens. Even bismuth, when you finally do have that conversation, just thinks that it's bismuth. Just like we think that we're only humans. So any dominant frequencies occurs when you collapse a lot of divisions. Any dominant frequencies, the dominant frequency holds sway over the non-dominant frequencies. Let me clear this up a bit. This means that sometimes you can take certain elements, let's say diamond tree, ayahuasca, and just hold on, because it's clear that this dominant frequency, which is this bioethnogen, is now about to take you for a ride. You're on the ride. It has the energy that it needs to go on the ride. It's not really your energy per se. So what I'm saying is that there are elements in our reality that are a lot more convinced about what they are. And that becomes the dominant frequency. So that's when we take any of that kind of stuff, we get basically almost taken over and experience what it is to be that. So follow me with this here. So this means then that the one who has not only done it mentally, not only done it spiritually, but also done it physically, meaning completely reorientated their consciousness to become a dominant frequency, believing that all is the same thing from the fiber of who they are. When they tell the water to move out the way, when they tell the plastic to turn itself into gold, when they tell the glass to melt itself and become wood, it just does what it's told to do. Just like if you take one of these elements that are more dominant than what we think we are, and then you go on that trip, you see what I mean? So it all really connects. So this becomes a life goal. It becomes a lifetime goals. Is simply to not only find the connection that exists within everything, but to be that. Because, and this is a real vivid thing, like if you can't take the element and remorph it. First of all, you're not going to be doing this in front of anybody. It's really not about other people seeing you do this. But if it's like bending the spoon. So if you can't do that, though, then there's much to learn. This is actually was exciting to us at a certain point. Now it's kind of frustrating. We're like, oh, my, where does it end? And well, I mean, what do you mean? I got to be able to build elements? Oh, no, that means I got to bend elements, man. This is insane. I'm not up for the task. But the good thing is that that's how collectives really work, is that it's, they used to call it the 100th monkey syndrome. It's basically when someone does begin to tap into it, it starts to replicate itself. It's invisible. That's why they call it Amun, okay, because meaning invisible. They call it the invisible God, meaning something that actually is doing something, but we can't see it. This is not actually a person. It's an ideology. It's a metaphor to explain to us how we work on this invisible level. Look at the most powerful things. Breath is invisible, but yet we breathe it. So this invisible, we need to start at least drawing a circle around that, hey, there's some invisible in there, and that invisible is operating. But what we find is that What I'll say is nothing is truly invisible. Nothing is truly clear in the physical realities. It's just about how fine can you tune your lens. And our lenses are basically the eyes that are all over the body. Some call them chakras. To be able to tune that lens, to be able to see into that space and extract what you need from that space. Because, of course, anyone that is capable of doing something like that has a purpose. And so this is the difference between moving with purpose. And there's not one that's better than the other. We often, like, we breathe in and breathe out. The universe can choose to just go to sleep and not have a purpose. And then it can choose to wake back up and just everything has this purpose tied into it, strung across the infinitum. It's doing the same thing that we're doing. It's like sometimes you can really hammer it out from age 25 to 32, and then after a while just sit back for about 2 or 3 years, like, what's it all really worth? And then reinvigorate yourself again and come back in it. So this same kind of behavior. So this kind of moves me into the next thing, if you didn't have something to chime in about, which I know you do. But, you know, I want to just mark the point that this moves us now into understanding the difference between being a zodiac sign versus being the cosmos and how that all plays out.
Absolutely. What I love, I was just mentioning to one of the people in the chat room who was responding to what you were saying, how they really resonated with it. And I said, yeah, I go, seven's the only person I interview that I really don't like to talk because they don't want to interrupt me.
Well, we're thankful for that. Because, you know, I'm also, I just sit over somewhere else and I watch myself actually when this whole thing occurs these days, because it's the zone. Like, I play better in the zone. You know how some of you see the player get in the zone, you're just hitting the baskets and all that kind of stuff. And that's because they're not ID'd.
Yep.
But once I start to ID myself and, you know, basically, am I going to disintegrate in front of everybody right here on next show because I don't know what my next word is? Is it, you know, I need some water and I, you know, too much of tapping in. And this is what I've now just summed it up to, because I've witnessed this now in such a vivid way. It's incredible to see what's in the lower mind. And then what is the higher mind? Because if we realize that the brain, all of this stuff, this is map and designs, like none of this stuff is evil and bad and all this stuff that we make it. Because if all evil and bad and fear means is that you turn away. So thus, you now will not know something and experience something that is necessary for your whole realization that all is truly self. So with the brain, it has quadrants. And I kid you not, and I know you know I'm telling the truth, but we move through those quadrants based on how we're thinking. And there is a lower quadrant. And I think a lot of people denoted that as the reptilian side of the brain. I'm not sure if I can actually authenticate that. But there's a lower quadrant, which seems to be to me more of a frequency. The whole brain is youthful, even the reptilian part. We can't just rip out the reptilian part, put the brain back on you, and then all of a sudden you're going to go to heaven. None of these concepts even make sense. What we're talking about is how is it in harmony? What is the vibratory frequency? Is it chaotic? Or is it cycling within itself? Is the corpus callosum burned out? Or is the weave completely put together between the neurons, and so the left brain is talking to the right brain? So these are the questions that we have to intelligently ask. And if we get a no on that, we have to be innovative enough to repair that, not turn, or they call it left behind. The left side of the brain was left behind. This is why, except for the left-handed people, we are primarily right-handed people. And this has a lot to do with the 26.5 or 23.6, whatever degree wobble that is on the planet. It makes us primarily use one side of the body. But this is because if you want to know how you really correct these kind of wheels, is the same way you would fix any wheel. It's still tarot. It's still the wheel. It's still rota. Don't reinvent the wheel. There's nothing new under the sun or the disc. So what does all this mean? How do you fix a whopped wheel? You need to rebalance it. And oftentimes, and this is how metaphoric the reality is, you balance wheels with lead. So meaning that when you go to the guy in the wheel shop, I talked to some friends about this, some female friends about this, and they were like, well, we don't know what happens when they take the tire back. That's all the men's stuff. Well, if you were privy to what goes on when they take the tire back there, and you say, like men do, I guess, in some cases, hey, man, so what's going on? This is the inquisitive me. So how does a tire get balanced? Oh, well, we just spin the tire. We find out where the imbalance is taking place. And then we take this piece of lead and we tap this lead right there. And then it balances out the tire. Now, lead is actually synonymous with death. Lead is synonymous with Saturn. Lead is synonymous with the whole component of when something has to be destroyed. This becomes a very useful component, I found. There are elements that do that naturally. Like, we need compost, and compost is highly connected with the same elements that produce what we call death. You see, so there's always that tearing down and building back up, like we were talking about before. And it's because if you are an architect and you have a chance to build your own home and live in it, as you live in that home, you'll notice things that you should have done different. Maybe you should have run the pipes that are going through the kitchen that make the crazy noise right by the bathroom on the other side of the house. So ever if you get an opportunity to build another house again, you're going to make sure you don't do the piping that way. So that's how the whole thing is. It's just a big house. That's why they like to call it the mansion. It's man Zion, man meaning flesh, not a notice man is contained in the word woman and man. So it means flesh. So that man, and excuse me, I kind of got disoriented a little bit because I went back into the flesh. But anyway, so it's the whole connection between it's the whole connection with how the reality actually forms itself. And so what I was going to say is that what happens is that when we say how the reality is going to form itself, we have to throw the question and the statement right back at us and say, well, how are you forming yourself? And so what I've come to discover is this actually what creates a zodiac sign. It's when you ingest or come into communion with, over a prolonged period of time, a specific elements. Like, you can become a lunar being. You can become a Venusian. You can become a Martian. You can become a Mercurian. If you continuously immerse yourself into those elements. Now, these elements of personalities is just like astrology, just like astronomy. It's not only parallaxes and calculations of geometry. It's also personalities and experience and preference of tastes. So the reason why it's the zodiac or the zoo, basically, and there's mostly animals on the wheel, is because this is all the stuff that goes on in the different variations that happen throughout the transformation of the being in the physical worlds. The physical worlds are flesh, so thus they are animalistic. All of our traits are shared with the collective beings holding the resonant frequency of those traits, like the lion, how he acts, the wolf, how he acts, all the animals and their zoomorphication, meaning their encrypted essence that makes them a certain way. Because see, as a builder, this is the only things that you're working with. As a creator, these are the only things that you're working with. And so sometimes we have to examine when we say, well, what is this higher level? Don't think that the universe doesn't have another job for us. Meaning that when you higher level doesn't mean resting in cotton balls or floating around on clouds. Higher level means more management per se. It means more responsibility. And I saw this in nature because you watch how there is clearly a hierarchy, meaning water is responsible for actually hydrating us. So that puts it in a position where it needs to hydrate us, just like the house and the roof and the steel that's in it and the wood is responsible for holding itself up. So that way this is what hierarchy really is. It's not Illuminati's and human beings running around with suits on and dictating and all that. That's what they created. Their true hierarchy, which they even have to bow down to, is within the nobles. It's within the elements. Because when you move with that force, you're moving with the cosmos. And anything standing in the way, well, it's dust. Meaning that anything that stands in the way of the movements of magnetars, quasars, these kind of elements that move with precision, it just gets obliterated or passed through. depending on what kind of element you're dealing with. There are elements that just pass through the entire, excuse my language, bullshit of what's going on in physical reality. They just don't, it doesn't even register. They fly through it like a screen. They don't even see it. Versus the big mass is subject to crash into it. Like, here you come flying from the shooting, you know, they're shooting stars all the time. Here you come, you know, landing down onto the planet for another trip into, you know, the game of life. So what we have to do now, what we get to do, we don't have to do anything. What we get to do is to start figuring this out, because it starts off complex because we've learned all of this stuff. And then, just like Yoda says, now you must unlearn, which is the most difficult thing to do when you have, you know, the lower mind completely trying to go at 1,000 miles an hour, even when you raise your vibration. Meaning, when you raise your vibration, that's why the most useful technique within meditations, which must be accompanied with breathing, is the ability to shut up the lower mind. And then also to, even at the beginning, because that's not as easy at first, to examine how the lower mind will not shut up. And so thus, it's in a constant expenditure of the energy, right? It's like it's blowing the currency. And many people have experienced this too. They come out of the deep meditation, namaste, and they just feel like they're flying. So they don't really want to talk. It's like trying to get them to say something. They just say a few peaceful words. It's all of it's together now. And that's it. And it's because when you leave the lower mind and you get into the higher mind, the last thing it wants to do is dive back into the old chatter, right? But what we've learned is we've learned how to do both. And this is where the innovation comes in. Many of us have begun to take those messages from on high and then descend with them, taking the secrets from God, if you may, bringing the fire of Prometheus back down to earth, and then bringing it here and beginning to work with it so that it begins to heal the people. And this healing, notice healing only takes place generally through one method, and that's just the elimination of toxins. And toxins are eliminated through a burning up process. So this is the same reason why the body can't by itself as flesh just fly out of here, just, you know, Superman right on out of there. Yeah, right. This thing is going to burn up at a certain point anyway, because it's toxic. The toxins are going to burn off. So the real healing process of this world is for those who understand how to work with the light of Kundalini. Fire and light and all these are synonymous. So when you're working with those different spectrums of light, when others are around that light, the unexplored crevices, we'll say it like that, not the darkness, the unexplored corners, light is shed.
I like
into
that.
Them. Yeah, you know, you got to be really selective with the words, because, you know, or else you're condemning people, you're judging people. And then when you get into that whole thing, that's all lower mind stuff. See, the lower mind, it's so integrated in what we're doing every day now. We're seldom getting a break from it at all. And this has been going on for many people 10, 15 years until they think that they are the lower mind. And that's really how it works. This thing talks to them in English. And I've had a whole show about this. It talks to them in English.
Uh-huh.
And then they respond to it. Like, I wonder if we should go to the store. Oh, I don't feel like I'm going to the store. Who are you talking to? Because you just have to recognize. See, once they say, man, you better recognize how many different forms, even if they're eidolons, even if they're egregors, meaning concentrated forms of consciousness that you've put energy into, are operating inside of your globe. And we talk about this in the university courses. If you don't get customs, if you don't get that guard on Fardelheim or whatever his place is called, and to stand at the gate and guard what's coming in through your portals, mainly just in your head, meaning in the globalist or the head, the prime of the body, which is the head. If you don't have guards on the ears, on the eyes, on the nose, and on the mouth, which is where you're taking in all the essence, and also in the spiral in the top of the head, in the bottom of the chin, if those areas are not guarded, then you're subject to be boarded. Now, this means then that each person, as we've already confirmed in metaphysics, operates not only as a planet, but also as a cosmos. But when you're in the small time, you can just agree that you're operating as a planet. So when something alien, meaning foreign, that does not have your custom, it means that it has to go through customs. This is your actual state of consciousness to where you say, this is what I'm ready to take. This is the amount of degrees that I can handle. This is how much energy I can handle, and this is how much toxin that I actually need. You know, so you make those decisions. We call this the dolphin, because it begins to get quite, for a while, you just have to drill into everything. It's like you're even watching every single breath. We call it the dolphin because the dolphin actually is conscious of every breath that it takes. The dolphin doesn't actually go to what we call sleep, because if it goes to sleep, then it'll just die because it's responsible for its breathing. But with that power, it's also gained the ability to utilize sonar. So it's basically like the whole thing. That's why I like to even liken it to a game sometimes. It's also a level up system. See, they showed us how that the punishment system doesn't really work. They showed us that in school. Like if you try to teach people based on punishments, it scars their growth, right? So Earth is actually a reward-based system. The more you actually begin to integrate yourself with what's really happening, the truth, the more you get these talents. So the two words here are talents and then also medals. Okay, so when a person has accomplished something, let's say in the hierarchical systems of the military, they give you a medal. This is because you've been noble. You've done a noble deed, supposedly, right? Okay, so where does all this come from? This comes from that when the person uses their talents, right? When they call it a talent, was actually a form of currency. If you know in the Bible that they actually were using talents during those times, it's a form of a currency. So when you utilize your talent and you excel in that, it's like investing in the stock market. You actually end up doing the right things with your talent rather than letting it get it waste away in some cube or cubicle. So when you are utilizing your talents and they begin to reap the rewards, then you get medals. Now, these medals, which we sometimes write off as, just these stuff that, we don't even have a real relationship with metal these days, but our entire body exists on these metals or minerals. Our mineral composition actually does govern how high our frequency can even go. Because if there's not enough conductors like copper, these zincs, sodium is a metal. Many people don't know. They think that sodium is a white powder. Go look it up on the internet. Sodium is a metal. It's eventually transformed into what we see as a white powder. So all of these metals, then, you're getting more sodium than anything, because that's the Saturnalian component. That's Saturday. And then, obviously you got Friday that pairs with that, but we won't get into that right now. But you have a lot of sodium in the diet because the sodium is a cube. It's a cubic structure when you look at it under the microscope. And then when you look at the top of Saturn, it's a cube. So rather than just going headlong into a Saturnalian theory, it'd be quite easier to say, well, what kind of geometry exists on Venus then? Instead of casting judgment on Saturn, because all these planets have a positive and a negative, just like we have a positive and negative side of our body, it's better to just go to the next planet and figure out, well, what's up with their poles? So you could go to Venus. Venus has two poles. That's why it's really seen as an androgynous. It doesn't have one pole like most planets do. Venus traces out this concave pentagram throughout the sky. Venus has a lot of different things going on that when you really start studying it, you see Venus is here. When you see the whole Saturnalian structure and how Saturn is here. So then I started getting, you start catching on after a while, that there's actually no other place. Everything is right here. And this is what the masters talk about. They talk about that in this, if you just could have a cube of what is in front of you, what is passing through the aether right now in front of you, it has infinite power within it because it has been already to all places. We are moving through something, but in a cycle, in a rotation. And so all of the spaces that's even breezing by us now, they call it the cosmic wind or the archonic breath, has already been rolled through. So if you know how to access that, and that's how you tap into this, some will call it supreme intelligence. Some would call it the subjective plane. Some would call it the Arabot. There's different terms, but you would begin to start to access that space. So that's what I'm here for. I've already accessed the space. I found out that also if you tell people you've accessed the space, that doesn't mean anything. You actually have to show them something mainly in person. Like we've done this virtually for a while, but you have to show them how to access the space.
Uh-huh.
This is what also cracked me up a while uh-huh. ago about how we think that one is supposed to perform for another, that the full confirmation that one has gained power is when they can like make some stuff float, or I guess throw electricity from their hands and shock the hell out of you with it, like, you know, like a Sith Lord or something. That's supposed to be the identity of when a person has power, right? But it's so funny
Mastery, yeah.
to think of something like that, because the reality truly is that we want it, every person wants not to witness someone else do something, but to actually experience it for themselves. So that's what this is about. This is about the step-by-step process. We work on it, like I said, multiple ways. We have this mental thing going on when we're using conversation, and you know, a lot of people, they feed on this. And, you know, it's energy within the words. And then some, they just deal with the essence. They begin to do the work, if you may, if you want to use that term, on themselves. They begin to grab the elements and start learning what's going on. I think we're getting a little reverb, so I'll slow down for a minute. So, you know, this
a lot of energy going.
So, yeah, so we'll take a minute, because, you know, it's like, see, for me, I'm like, I'm just getting warmed up. Like, this is actually a part of a 4-part series of something that's so massive. You know, it even, I call it the mass portal.
I call it the mass portal. Absolutely. And actually, Seven, it's perfect timing to take our station ID and music break.
Yeah, let's do that.
For a few minutes. Yeah, awesome. Perfect. And so, everyone, you are listening to Consciousness Caffeine Radio. This is Rainbow Warrior Goddess Lisa, and today our topic is The Ancient Future, Part 1, The Higher Mind with Seven Bomar. Seven is a visionary, a spiritual activist, author of Code to the Matrix, and a heaven of a lot more. He is sharing his sagacious perspective on the ancient future and the higher mind, and we are only, as he said in the very beginning, this is going to be a 4-part series. I have a short but I thought appropriate piece of music picked out for when we come back and open our Rainbow Warriors circle. So when we come, all callers, if you're already on the line, all you have to do is press 1. We are back with today's episode, which is The Ancient Future, Part 1, The Higher Mind with Seven Bomar. He's a visionary, spiritual activist, author of Code to the Matrix, and a heaven of a lot more. He is sharing his sagacious perspective on the ancient future in the higher mind. And as Seven was saying right before we went to the break, this is the first part of 4. So we're just at the beginning of this journey, and I'm loving it and ready for more. And we are opening the circle, but before we do, Seven, I just wanted to make a comment quick because I didn't want to interrupt you back when you were rolling as you do so well. But what you're speaking to primarily, you know, I loved what you said about the darkness not being dark, but that which hasn't been explored. You know, it's all about shadow work, and that's what I do. And it's all about going into what we've suppressed consciously or unconsciously and revisiting it and facing our fears. And in my self-realization process, like, I love listening to you because you've gone past the point where I've gone and crashed and gone back up and crashed and gone back up, and you've broken through to the easy. And I have periods of time of that, but and they're longer. Mm-hmm. But it's all what I've found is the hardest thing to do in this body with this consciousness in this physical form in this world is our power, our own power. That's all the fear we have to go through is the fear we have of retaking back that power. And the song I just played and the vision you gave about, there's not really any words, it's ineffable. But when you actually see the infinite beauty and how everything is so magically put together, and it literally blows your mind.
Yeah, because
but,
you know,
it's so eloquent
that you would even mention that is because, you know, I would definitely love to chime in on that. And it's, you know, because what often is missed is that if we're actually even somewhere and we're in this space, if this space was put here, and you know, I know there's kind of a reverb, so maybe let me see if we can try to handle that, because or else I'm gonna just have to pull my earphones away from my ear because it repeats back what I say, so it kind of throws me off a little bit. So I'm trying to see what's actually causing the audio reverb, but I'll keep going and we'll see what happens. So what I'm saying here is that Earth, if you're inside of it, it was put here already. So from that perspective, that's what the subconscious mind is. It's all of the framework of how Earth got here or how it was all formulated. And so inside of us, for us to even be static here, for us to be, you know, even open the eyes and see this, all of it must reside. And this is what was discovered in many of the deeper, you know, some of the more mental approaches at trying to figure out what was going on, what, why we're here on Earth. But that it, everyone came to a conclusion that was studying that, that that information was in the subconscious. Because when you put someone into a state of sleepiness, like a hypnosis, the amount of information that you can get out of this person is alarming into what you would think they had no knowledge of. And again, in the depth of something like that, it would just be really within the person asking the questions at a certain point, because you could ask this person the question, and if they were in this state, which was like, is basically like a state of harmony, they're floating in between two planes, they have access to anything that you're asking, as long as they're not accessing their mental mind. And this is also what you do in lucid dreaming. You don't access your mental mind too strong, or else it just, you fall off the wave, you wake up. So, you know, and I'll say this, you know, because, you know, this could get to one of those conversations where I just tell people all the good stuff, and, you know, and that's fine and dandy, but we're going to change everything. We're already changing everything now, but we're making heavy efforts. And I'm meaning, you know, this faction in itself, you know, as it, you know, more and more people adapt to it and join, you know, that's great. But as we're working on it in the core and the nucleus, we're going to change everything because we found certain things. See, I'm only looking for certain things. Like, I need to understand what the element does, what the building blocks are, what attracts what repels what, like, and what is its transformation throughout its evolution. Because I can sit back now, and even with what I can get off of Google, watch the entire rise and fall of a hypersentient empire, like the Aztecs or the Kemetans, and I can see where they are now. Meaning that nobody ever dies. So I can see the bodies they're now inhabiting, what they're doing with their bodies, how it all came to that. So I'm at that stage now. And that's like, let's say, the Time Lord phase, when you're watching thousands and thousands of years of civilizations make their way through time. Because, you know, time, that's why they show Cain is leaving the garden, and he has this whole downtrodden thing about time, because Cain is Saturn. And it's all just tied into meaning that the journey of time is a very weary journey inside of time to continue something forever. You know, even to create concepts of forever, you have to create concepts of time. So where all those ideas exist, it's trudging on, and it has the strength, though, of all of what it's collected as it's continuously going. And then what I mean by we decide to change everything is because once you know the mechanics, we call it celestial mechanics, once you understand the realm dynamics, eventually it'll click. And what we're doing is we're creating things, and this is what's going to be coming out within the next 2 months, and we're creating things that perfect the field. Because just like what I was saying earlier, if you're on a zodiac sign, that's because you're either going through the house, you've been through the house quite a few times, different houses, and you're having that whole experience. To be quickened, someone just needs to give you basically the archetypes of all of those houses in a form in which is assimilable to you, meaning something that you connect with, and that's what crystals are. Even minerals, if you can get onto that level, crystals much more easier, plants even easier. So you always see with any real system of power, there's a plant, there's a mineral, there's even an animal. So there's different correspondences, because based on the correspondence that you choose to use to inherit that energy, that's actually what's determining the degree of the energy. Meaning, can you actually eat, let's say, a rare element in the physical body? No, you probably pass away. But there's another correspondence. The physical body will pass away. But there's another correspondence to that same element in another composition, in a different kind of alchemical degree. It's just basically less. It's been stepped down, even in a plant. So certain plants contain metals that if you ate you can eat the plant, but you're not going to eat the metal. But if you work your way up into this let's say, more expanded version of your consciousness, you can actually hold the metal and feel all the energy of the metal going right through into the body, and then beginning to restructure the body in the areas in which that metal applies. So of course, so that's why it's like it's a stair step process. It's not that, you know, there's this desire not for everyone not to get to the top. It's that you don't go to the top first anyway. And it's because the level of energetic potential, it'd just be useless to you in the state that you would be in, especially into understanding the entire pattern of becoming a planet, becoming a parent, and understanding how to stick around, okay? Because this is the other thing. These humans, they do all sorts of stuff, and then they run off. And then they live with that throughout the timeline. This is like the plight of God. Like when you understand God's whole thing, God wants to actually pass off the responsibility of what to do on earth on you. Because God's been managing the entire earth for thousands of years. And just like watching a baby for thousands of years, you're ready to go have some fun. So you're looking for, and I'm just playing all these dynamics. None of these beings are higher or lower than you. They possess the same kind of consciousness. Anything that has to consistently work on something consistently and gets tired of that is always looking for someone else that is actually capable to pass it off to. So, and also because there's so many of these planets, there's as many planets as there are babies, right? So if there's 8 billion planets already, like there's no limit to these. So that's also the key that they talk about with abundance, is to realize that there's no scarcity. There's the whole fear factor and the stock market crashing and all that stuff, that artificial stuff, if anything could be called artificial, that they try to push through. But the reality is the earth is rich, the coast is rich, the planet's abundant. If it rains somewhere and there's a drought in another place, we have the innovation to move the system so that they balance each other out. So, but because they, you know, it's what they say, 18 the hard way, because we're going to have to learn another lesson too, which is about how to exact dominion, how to become better parents, how to move an insufficient, retarded parent out of the way, put them in check, and then get into the position. But you're not going to do that through walking downtown, marching. You're not going to do that through any of that. That builds a lot of courage. That builds a lot of steam, and maybe you work on your legs a little bit. But the thing is, to go where the power is, like, don't play games. And that's why I say we're going to change everything. If this is the game, and I mean, you know, sometimes you got to watch out for these words. When I say don't play games, meaning still, if you want to do this, don't say you're going to do this and then 20 years later you're still saying you're going to do this. This is not something that you want to do like that. Go say you want to party for the next 20 years or something. You'll probably have more fun. If you're going to do this, grab the elements that are going to actually be able to do it, or else, you know what I'm talking about too, because some people, they have this whole Save the World program loaded, but they don't have any clue of how to actually save a world. So then they carry the world like Atlas, except for they don't got the muscles. And then it starts to break their back. And then after a while, they only have crone phase for you, basically telling you how any story that comes up, the scapegoat is what I call it. You know, they invert the pentagram, meaning invert phi, invert the whole idea of what it is to be in the known created world and its real purpose. And then they go at you with that. And so this is where we've blew past that. But at the same time, we always come back for ours. No one gets left behind. The original integrity of all of the systems of heraldry still exists within us, not in this aristocratical bougie way in Monaco somewhere, but in a way in which we utilize that same power to strengthen our biorhythm, to understand and take on the entire responsibility. I call it gladiator. That's what it's about in a tense to going into this. So you can use everything as your power, is what I'm saying. And I was talking about this on one of my last shows, but you know, if I see somebody getting hurt, it fuels me to find situations to not allow that to happen again. But I don't go into the whole, you know, the whole drama. I call it the dragon mother. That's what the word means, the drama. It's the old Ouroboros stretched across the sky, all of the signs of the zodiac, the goods and the bads, and all of what goes on when choices are made, which when you're adept, you understand when you make choices, there's repercussions. In science and in physics, they already told you, wherever action, there's a reaction. So we're ready to make that action and then fire back when the reaction comes, because there's also this level with the elements where you can attract and you can repel. And that's how you control time. Because when the elements are moving through, if you don't want to be subject to that cosmic blast, then you just have a repeller on. And this is what this is about. And this stuff is founded on thousands of years. This was the pinnacle of our society. And that's why I call it the ancient future, because it appears as if I'm going to it. So I guess everyone would call that the future. But because I'm actually going higher and back to where I came from, it's actually the past for me. You see what I mean? So this is how it's all funny. See,
Yep.
the East is East relevant to us here in over here in the United States. But if you're in China, the East is the United States for those who say you have to get to the East. You see what I mean? So it's all relative. So this is also the next thing is that remember though, when you access the overmind, well, I know we're coming for questions in a minute, but I'm going to let them have it. But just let me finish this part right here because it's the key to the whole thing, or else none of it makes sense. When you access the overmind, what you'll find in there is that we trapped ourselves in perfection. See, the reason why this actually looks so real is because we've designed it perfectly for us to believe that we're separate. So in this game, the atheist is almost like the perfect design because the full goal, which was to make us believe that we were separate, has actually occurred with that being, because that being doesn't even believe that it's even a god. This is like the most hilarious thing that can occur. But to really understand that the intelligent design, it marvels at that because it says, well, oh my goodness. Something has been created where there is a complete perception of a detachment that is actually not taking place. Thus, the being is trapped in its perfection. And that's why humans and creations have always been seen as these beautiful gems. And it's just got these beautiful faces, these beautiful people. And I just get wafted by it all the time. I mean, there's just so many things to engage in here. But it's that perfection that you have to realize if that exists there, it crosses over into something else to where we actually can become trapped in that because we get so much into seeing the separateness of it. So just be aware of that trapped in perfection, that particular statement will always kind of snap you out of certain times when you get too stuck into certain areas because it just reminds you, hey, remember this design is it's done perfectly. You should see it from the top. There's not even a part missing. And then all the beings that are dancing around in this huge mandala, they don't even know edgewise. It just comes to them as a suggestion. So if you're viewing it, then this means that your number is being called. You should already predict what's going to happen next. You can predict what's going to happen next to the elements. We're going to move to Ethereum as a currency. The banks are already messing with their algorithms and things. It's going to be a slow process and it's going to gradually phase out things. And most people won't even feel it, just like they didn't feel when plastic, which are the credit cards, came in. The credit cards came in. There was a little shucking and jiving and shaking that it was the beast and the chip and all this kind of stuff. But after a while, people, Visa or MasterCard, PayPal, debit, that's, and it went through. But it's symbolic. Because plastic and that kind of carbon and chips and superconductors are all part of one family. And when that family comes through, that's tech. When tech comes through, it signifies the beginning of aether. And this is what elements teach you. Like this story is written in the stars. Like it's actually written in the tables of the changes of the elements. So all of what we need is here, is what I'm saying. And I've already got enough to know what to do. So I'm just in position. And also kind of glad that I'm on a planet that it needs to be done. So thus I have a purpose. So with position and purpose, oh my goodness, like this is a candy store at this point. That's how it seems to me, and that's because I'm pure optimist. And so, that's it. So, and then the last thing is just to remember when you cut yourself, you heal. And it is that very action. If you can begin to realize what goes on right there, it's even the key to immortality in the physical bodies. The body, it repairs itself. So what controls the action of when it decides not to repair itself? Like when we get older, it's because it's not like a cut. It's gradually happening, so it kind of goes unnoticed. Versus when we cut ourselves, we have a knowledge that that cut is there, and we begin to heal that cut with what we call our immune system. So there's immunity commands to send immunity commands into the body consistently. You see? So this is like, but this is all child's play. Like what I saw, I mean, quite frankly, language actually wasn't even the construct to interface with it. Light wasn't the construct to interface with it. And that's why I realized that there was that scripture that says, you can't see its face and live. What that means is it's not actually a being, it's actually everything. And to look into it, you lose all idea of self, like you as an individual, and you gain the ability to be everything. And so, and that's the process. The process is for you to be able to do that and still remain cohesive. Like, so there's two different, remember, there's two different endings to this game. There's one where you just merge completely back into the subjective plane as all the elements in that you are, and then that goes into the composition of the matter, and then it gets regenerated again by a creator, which is us when we have sexual intercourse, or animals when they have sexual intercourse. So that's that process. And then there's the professional reincarnator, which I would highly suggest that you look into. But what it basically means is that you boil off all the falsehoods, so there's nothing left but truth. When you pass through the body, the elements try to act on you, but they cannot, because you're a higher truth. Then you maintain your consciousness, and you can start doing this now. This is just not about waiting till you die to try, because that's kind of the worst time to try to figure this kind of thing out. You want to get used to it. But as you begin to come out of this, what do you call it? It's a cocoon. As you come out of the cocoon and then you start merging, it's now the elements, because you've been forged. And this is why they say the shaman, the process is to basically take out even the bones and restructure them with iron. And they talk about this process is very painful. It's all symbolic, because what it really means is that just the whole process of you basically re-engineering your entire being is quite painful, to just let go that whatever this other color is and whatever this other creepy thing is and all that has something to do with what you're going to be doing right now. And then also your inventions. And I like to use this word a lot, because remember, we are creators. And now we have the elements, because before, and then just one more thing, it's another jewel. See, the process of time is all calculated. It's all rigged, baby. Because see, early in the game, we had to go with the flow for real. We flow with the rivers. We flow with the wind. Because if you didn't flow with them, you didn't survive. So, and understand, this is from multiple levels. Yeah. Like, if you don't flow with the level of where the Nile is moving, if you happen to be living in that area, you're going to die, because there's going to be nothing there in a certain period of time. And because we hadn't gained any motor skills, like to be able to go up opposite to a current, we flowed with that. So that also is what kept things in that kind of harmony, right? And then that's actually when we met the Supreme Being, because we realized right away, right from the moment of realization, that the Supreme Being was more embodied in what we would call breath. And this is why. First of all, no real Supreme Being is going to give you any options like worship me or else. If you don't worship me, this is what's going to happen to you. Like, I mean, come on, who is this guy?
Exactly.
Right? So, and there's a reason for that. It's because there's no negotiation. Dominant frequencies don't negotiate. So with breath, then, since breath is life, breath is the Supreme Being. We'll use the word God, because more people are used to that word. Breath is God. Why? Stop taking it and ye shall surely die. Take a lot of it and you will be more filled with life. So it proves, like, if you take all your breaths and you take your breath properly, you'll go into a whole nother framework. And so, see, the Supreme Being is is truth. And we find truth all around us. It's actually in the elements. And one of them, just to understand more, because there is a process of the introduction to this concept, if you may, breath is the first one, because it shows you it's not negotiating. Breath's not going to ask you, don't take a breath then. Fine. See, that's called subjective. This is what it's meant by the subjective plane. It means that, you know, you take it and you turn it into whatever you want, but I'm going to be always what I am. And so that's what it means to be subjective. You define it. So you take in the breath and then you go about your merry way. You go on with your life. You take on the breath. I'll give you the breath. I'll give you as much breath as you need. And you go run and you create children and you go have cars and you go have houses. You go have fights. You go do all of that. Because I'm breath. You see what I mean? So that's what we have to begin to see here as these other personalities or characters that are involved with our process here and actually are in more of control of running our process. And then when we get control of that, meaning to seize control of your breath, is then to become a supreme being for that element. So that's it. So that's it. I know people will be able to rewind it and then play it back again, and then they'll get what exactly I'm talking about within this first part of the transmission about, you know, how you really tap into the higher mind, and then how you, you know, you stand aloft at times and you're able to see the grand design, and then that eases things up about what you believe is going on, and it allows you to break the prism, so you're not looking at colors, green, blue, white, black. You're not playing the color game. You collapse and you shatter the whole prism, and you move the lower cone, and then you move into the top cone. So this is how you would do that mentally. But, you know, of course, there needs to be a physical and a spiritual component to that. And so that's also what, you know, we teach and we encourage people to do.